Good morning, good morning. I am so glad to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. My name is Harley, in case we have not met yet, and welcome to all of our friends and family who are listening online as well. Happy New Year. We have made it, but here's my problem in life in general. For me, out of sight, out of mind, right? I forget things. I focus usually on whatever is shiny or flashy or fun that is around me. That's kind of what gets my attention. And that obviously can change pretty quickly. Have you heard, I don't think that I have this, but have you heard of ADHD? I know you have. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And it is one of the most common disorders in the United States. And the symptoms include this: inattention, not being able to focus on things, hyperactivity, which is kind of, we know, excessive movement that's not really fitting to the setting that one might be in. Impulsivity, kind of hasty acts that kind of occur moment by moment, just as something is thought of. Now, here's why I bring that up. Because I think that I probably have spiritual ADHD. I really do. I'm like, in life, I'm like a cat and a laser pointer, right? It's almost like I live kind of on a spiritual TikTok or spiritual Instagram reels, right? That I live this life in a series of 10-second intervals, 10-second little videos. I focus on things for maybe 30 seconds at a time, from one topic to another topic. I just kind of bounce around. I maybe at this stage of my life, I have no idea. Sometimes I think that I'm intently focusing 10 seconds and 30 seconds at a time. And I think about that and I'm like, really? Is 10 seconds or 30 seconds really intently focusing? I don't think so. We can waste, if you're anything like me at all, we can waste what feels like 10 minutes, that's what it feels like, on TikTok and Reels, when actually it's an hour, right? It goes by so fast. And for me, for sure, maybe for you, social media on smartphones has made me, for sure, maybe you are included in this with me, social media on smartphones has made us elevate our anti-social dumbness through numbness, right? That's what it has done for me. So no wonder I have focus issues. No wonder that for hours every single week, we focus on something around us for 10 seconds at a time. And spiritually, if that's what's happening, it's devastating. A 10-second focus. Is that even focusing? I mean, really? It's just a glance. And how effective can we be at life by living life by glances? It's easy to find ourselves at the end of the day having merely glanced our way from item to item all through the days, and days turn into a week of just glancing, not really focusing intently on anything. And then weeks become months. And then suddenly here we are now, January of 2025. We just left 2024, which went by so fast. And here's a question for us as we begin this morning. How much of 2024 did we do little more than just glance our way through the year, day by day? If we were to inventory each of our personal 2024 year, how do we find out what our focus was? Do you want to know? Because this can be pretty telling. Here's a way you can know, and you can inventory personally your 2024. Here's how we can do it. We can go back and look at our personal daily social media posts and then add that to a peek at our weekly calendar And then add to that a look at our monthly personal bank accounts. And then we have to ask ourselves, what does that information reveal about your focus for 2024 and my focus? And I think if we are honest with ourselves, in the answers to those questions and what we look about with social media and our time, our calendar, our bank account, we can answer our own question of what is our life purpose? It's revealed in that. What are our life goals? They're revealed in that. And our life will become clear as we answer those questions. So what does your focus say about you? Now, today, you decided to get up on a day off, on a rainy day off, and you decided to gather with this church. And I am so glad you did. And many of you, most of you, you already know the types of things that we talk about, and you know the types of things that we teach, and you know, if you've been here or if you've watched us online, you know that everything we do, we try to find its basis in these scriptures that we talk about every week. All those scriptures which direct us to the life and the work of Jesus. Now, this is the first Sunday in 2025. And my question is this: will you be open to God's plan for your life? Even if you've been with us for a long time, which it can't be too long, we only started not that long ago, right? Even if you've been with us, though, for a long time, will you be open to God's plan for your life, even if it's different from the course that you're on right now, your current path? So I'm talking to our long-timers today, and I'm talking to our middle-timers this morning as well, those who have been with us for kind of a middle amount of time, and I'm also talking to our first-timers and our second-timers. My question is this: will you be open to His plan today? And we're going to be talking about this throughout this series. And then we're really, honestly, we talk about this throughout the entire year. But I want you to know this: starting today, you can have a do-over. You see, today doesn't have to be like yesterday. You can experience in your life an upgrade. This can start a new chapter for you. Life 2.0. For me, Harley 2.0. Your life 2.0. Today, it's all we have. And it doesn't have to be like yesterday. And it doesn't have to be like last year. So we can move on to the next chapter. You know, we started the last series in November, and we started with Luke's gospel. And when Luke finished the last line of his gospel, he wasn't done. Luke actually gives us a next chapter. Maybe you didn't know this, but we have named this next chapter, we have named it Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. But it's really Luke's gospel 2.0. The next chapter. That's where we're going to be this morning. And actually, that's where we're going to be through this series in the book of Acts. And so I want to begin this morning at the very beginning of Luke's gospel 2.0 here, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And here's what Luke begins with. He says, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach." Now, someone along the way, after many, many years, after Luke wrote this, what I would kind of call the fifth gospel, the book of Acts, somewhere along the way, someone named it the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Luke did not give this writing that name. Luke didn't name it. Because we have to ask the question, is this really about the Acts of the Apostles, of the disciples? And I think when we look at it, we have to say, no, it really isn't, because we discover that this is all about the good news of Jesus. We discover that Acts is actually, it's the Acts of Jesus 2.0. It's the fifth gospel of Jesus Christ, as recorded by Luke. That's the way I feel about it. And Luke says that in his first book, he says, he wrote about everything Jesus began, right? And now we have Jesus 2.0, everything that he is doing right now. And so he goes on in verse 2. He says, so everything that Jesus began until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. Now, that line there, that is about where Luke 1.0 ends and now jumps into Luke 2.0. Verse 3 now. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. So, Luke is saying, during these 40 days, and I'm sure during that time, from time to time, Jesus walked up into some encounters with people face to face, right? But we know this. Certainly, it's recorded by eyewitnesses that Jesus often, after the resurrection, he often popped in, right? He just appeared. I mean, he wasn't there, and then suddenly he was there. Jesus was right there. I mean, he would enter through solid walls, through locked doors. Jesus 2.0, because Jesus couldn't do this before his resurrection. Before he died and rose again, Jesus was still, he was fully God and fully man. But before the resurrection, he couldn't just appear. You see, God chose to limit himself with that earthly, real human body. But now something was different. This is Jesus 2.0. Fully God, yes, absolutely. And still fully human. But now, on this side of the resurrection, he was now glorified. This fully God and still fully human, now glorified Jesus can somehow appear through doors and through walls. Now, because this could be really, just think about it, this could be really confusing for the apostles, for the disciples, for his followers, because that's really kind of ghost-like, right? That is not a human thing we're comfortable with, right? So look what Jesus does next. Luke tells us, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Jesus spent that 40 days on the other side of the resurrection proving to them over and over and over again, this was Jesus, really Jesus 2.0, but really him, really physically alive still. And hundreds of people experienced that resurrected, very much living Jesus. Often they experience that kind of in small groups of people, sometimes one at a time, you know, or a small group. But eyewitnesses tell us on one occasion at least there was a group of 500 people all seeing, experiencing the same Jesus. And so they talked with him. They touched him. They ate with him. This was real. This was Jesus 2.0. So what's the end result of all of these interactions that Jesus had after the resurrection with all of these people? Well, here's the result. The apostles and the early followers of Jesus became absolutely convinced of the physical resurrection of Jesus. No question about it. The assurance that gave them led to their boldness And it's exactly what they were going to need for what was to come. That boldness from seeing the very tortured and the very executed Jesus now very alive. And it transformed the apostles from fearful, cowering skeptics to bold, powerful witnesses. And now Luke tells us what Jesus talked about too. He didn't just appear and eat with them, you know, and let them touch him. He talked to them. And Luke tells us what Jesus talked to them about during that 40 days. Luke tells us the focus of Jesus during that time. And here's what he said. And he talked to them, Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, this is Jesus 2.0. But that's exactly what Jesus 1.0 was talking about before he died. That's how his public ministry actually began. And Mark tells us about that. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus went into Galilee where he preached. This is the beginning of promised by God has come at last, Jesus announced. The kingdom of God is near. And then he adds this, repent of your sins and believe the good news. That's where his ministry started. And now with Jesus 2.0, that's where he starts too. He starts with the kingdom of God. It is God's divine rule over the hearts of man. And Jesus had taught them, and he was teaching them now the very same thing. And get this, they were beginning finally to understand like never before. But all this teaching, it was very soon, in just days, going to be super Jesus in way blessed, and they were going to understand the teaching of Jesus in ways that they couldn't imagine. And I know what I'm getting ready to say next is going to sound strange, but hang in here with me. What Jesus is teaching them and what he had taught them, it wasn't enough. It's as if Jesus is saying, you don't really understand yet. Oh, but you will. Just hang on. You're going to really get some Jesus 2.0 very, very, very soon. So hang on. Luke and John here tells us and reminds us, hey, listen, Jesus was telling them all of this stuff before he died. Here's what John said. John 14, verse 26. But when the Father sends the advocate, this is Jesus speaking, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he says, that's who I'm talking about, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I've told you. Jesus is saying, at just the right time, God the Father is going to send God the Spirit to represent God the Son to every single believer. And I just have to think, as Jesus is talking to them during this 40-day time period, they have to be thinking, his disciples, his followers have to be thinking, okay, Jesus was stone cold dead, executed, and now the past 40 days, we've eaten with him, we've touched him, we've talked with him, he has taught us, we're learning, we're listening. We need to get out there and absolutely tell everyone what we have seen and heard. But no, Jesus actually says, no, don't get out there yet. Let's stop. And let's focus. It's as if he's saying, fellas, listen, you have the proof, but you don't yet have the ability. And Luke goes on and describes, verse 4, Once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before." And we just read about one of those from John. He said, "John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In other words, you don't have the power yet to do what I'm asking you to do. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And I can only think to myself that it's like Jesus is riding in a camel caravan with a bunch of kids. And it's like they're in the back seat of this camel. And they're like, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 your kingdom. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much further? Are we there yet? How much further? Are we there yet?" It's like they too have spiritual ADHD. Jesus is teaching and they keep asking, are we there yet? When are we going to be there? How long do we have? Squirrel! You see, they kept asking Jesus that before Jesus died. And now they're asking the very same question to Jesus 2.0. And here's what he said. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." It seems like Jesus is saying, "Oh, yes, 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 my kingdom, it is going to happen. But it isn't your focus. When? Oh, it's going to happen. And thinking about when, okay, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's not your focus. When and how, that focus only belongs to God. And that's really none of your business." And even still today, for us, I mean, it's futile for us to really speculate about the future beyond what God has told us. It's important to be curious, but we have to be present and living in the present. And Jesus is going to help and choose to pass by some things that are good in order to grab the great. It's like Jesus is saying, "Oh, I have a focus for you. Yes, I have a task for you. But it's not anything to do with about when or how my kingdom is going to be established." And Jesus knew, as he was with the apostles and these disciples and these early followers, he knew from a human standpoint, they were nowhere near ready for the task that was ahead. I mean, there were still so many things they did not yet understand, even though Jesus had told them. Their faith was still weak. I mean, just 40 days ago, they had run away at the arrest of Jesus, and they just took off and they ran. They never really understood, even though he told them that the resurrection was coming. And then after his death, they were cowering. They were frightened, locked away in a room. And now, with the resurrection, they're still looking at Jesus and they're like, "Jesus, when are you going to kick Rome out and sit on the throne of David?" So Jesus knows that they are still weak. And that's why he tells them, "Don't get out there yet. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait for this gift that God is going to send." So establishing the kingdom of Jesus, when and where, Jesus says to them and to us, that is none of your business, that is not your focus, but This is your business. This is your focus. And then we're going to listen to what Jesus says next. This full and very active ministry of Jesus all through the Gospels. That ministry was going to now continue through those who were gathered around Jesus at that moment. And my friends, that very same ministry of the Gospels continues for you and for me this very day. And Jesus says, don't focus on when, focus on this. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Required power. Jesus is saying, you are weak right now, but soon you won't be. You are going to have, Jesus is saying, you are going to have power from me. God the Father is going to send it through God the Spirit to you. And God the Spirit will represent me for you. And he goes on, and you will be my witnesses. I find this interesting. He didn't say, some of you will be my witnesses. Those of you who prove to be really convincing. No, he said, every single one of you, all of you. If you're a Christ follower, the question isn't, am I a witness of Jesus? The question, let's just look, what kind of witness are you? Let's just look about yesterday, Saturday. What was your life witnessing about yesterday? Because you are a witness. What was your life witnessing? What were your words declaring? What about your actions? For me, here's a big one. What about your reactions? And what are they all a witness of? What are your actions, reactions, words, decisions telling people? And where are they pointing people? Do you know what the Greek word for martyr is? There's only one word for it, and it has one meaning. You know what the word is and the meaning for martyr is witness. And Jesus just said it. He said, you are going to be my martyrs, my witnesses. And if you follow Jesus, I want you to know you are a martyr. Now we hear that word and we think about death, right? Martyr for us means death. Because that's what that word came to mean. And it came to mean death because all of his early witnesses, his early followers died for what they were eyewitnesses to. And Jesus told them, you're going to be my martyrs, my witnesses. Now think with me, what are you with your life, your decisions, your actions, your reactions, what are you witnessing about right now in your life? What are you a martyr for? And as we think about the general life in Southern Arkansas, we have to think about this. What is my life witness about? What is my life a martyr for? And we would, many of us have to say, well, it's a witness of my life. What are you dying for right now? And a lot of us would have to say, oh, well, probably my hobby or possibly my interests. Or maybe my life is about promoting my own talents and my own abilities. And I have to ask, is that what your life is dying for? So that you can impress people with how talented you are? And Jesus is saying, we are all witnesses. What's your life telling people? And Jesus is saying, here's your life focus. Don't promote yourself. Don't put yourself out there. Don't be about you and your interests. He said, here's your focus. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he tells them, listen, and I'm going to give you the power and the ability to do all of that. You know, a witness simply tells people what they saw and what they heard and what they touched. And Jesus said, that's what you're going to do with everyone, everywhere. And they did. John later, not in his gospel, but in a letter that he wrote later, John said this about Jesus 2.0. Listen to what he said. John chapter 1, verse 1. We actually read it last week. We proclaim to you, John is saying, the one who existed from the beginning, who we have heard themselves, they heard him, and seen, they saw him, the resurrected Jesus themselves. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. And I find this so interesting. Jesus then tells them, as he's talking to them, he says, it's all going to start right here in Jerusalem. Now think with me for just a moment about Jerusalem. 40 days ago, they murdered Jesus. This is the same city filled with the very same people who were enemies of Jesus and were enemies of God as they shouted out, pardon me, crucify him. And here, Jesus says, it's all going to start right here. You telling people about me. It's going to start right here in this very city, surrounded by the killers of Jesus. My friends, you aren't here on this earth to be a fan of Jesus. You aren't here to be cheering for Jesus. You are here as a key player. The only difference between you and those missionaries that were recently killed in Haiti, the only difference between you and between them right now at this moment, the only difference between you and the missionaries in the Christian-hating Middle East right now, who are hiding and who are infiltrating quietly under the radar, the only difference between you and them, the only difference between you and the missionaries in China who sneak in and quietly tell people about Jesus, the only difference between you and any of those missionaries, according to Jesus, the only difference between you and them is your location. According to Jesus, your focus is the same. That's what Jesus was telling, commanding of these followers, all and of us. And as quickly as that all began, as Jesus was talking to them, as quickly as it began, it was all over. Verse 9. After saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Now, this was not a weather thing. This was not a cloud that we're thinking of clouds. Before their very eyes, Jesus disappears into the actual glory of God. And they are there, staring, dumbfounded, in silence, looking into the emptiness that was now in front of them. Verse 10, and they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Boom! They were there. Apparently, that's what happens. Jesus, the angels, they were just there. Apparently, they just appear. And here's what they say, verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. The angels, it sounds like, are saying, hey, listen. Listen. You haven't seen anything yet. The power, the ability that you need is going to soon follow. But for now, he just gave you your focus. So with that, disciples, apostles, followers of Jesus, everywhere and always, with that focus, on your mark, get set. It's about to be go time. Now let's bring this back to 2025. You see, Jesus set their focus. And as a church, Jesus has set our focus as well. He set our focus. And for us as a church, here's what this means, focus. We pass by the good to grab the great. So here's the nitty-gritty for today as we end. And I just have to admit, as a Gen Xer, as I say these next lines, my mind and heart is singing Best of You by the Foo Fighters. What good thing has the best of you? What are you giving the best of you? To what? To what are you giving the best of yourself? Us have seen the physical resurrected Jesus, which can be a challenge, right? Because he's out of sight. And for many of us, then that means he can easily be out of our mind. And when he's out of our mind, there are some really good things that can get us, that can get most of us. There's some really good things that can get the best of us rather than his great plan and his calling on your life. Now, listen, we're not saying that you're in to anything bad. What you may be investing, it may be something really good. You may have grabbed on to something really good with your life and with your time and your finances and your focus, all of your calendar and your social. It could be really good. And it's got your focus. And if you look back to where we started this morning, it can be revealed to you by looking at what has most of your calendar and what has most of your social posts and what has most of your time and what has most of your money, what has most of your thoughts. And you may have grabbed onto something really good with your life and your focus. But Is it the great thing that Jesus has really called you to? And at Stuttgart Harvest Church and the church in Malvern, one of our core values is focus. And we've learned it from Jesus himself. And Jesus is describing this focus, how we pass by the good in order to grab his great. And so many of us in 2024, like me, maybe you were living your life like a cat chasing after a laser pointer. And if that describes you, we have to ask this question. Who's holding that laser pointer? Who is sending you in every direction except telling people about me, Jesus, everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? Jesus began his ministry by saying, to receive that good news, submit to that good news. And then he said, repent. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And my friends, on this very first Sunday worship gathering that we experienced together in 2025, perhaps it is we who need to repent individually of our focus problem. And in that repentance, here's what we're doing. We're admitting to God, God, I've had the wrong direction, albeit it may have been a good direction, but it's been the wrong direction because I've put it over and above your calling. So I've been in the wrong direction. And now I'm making a choice to say, I'm going to turn. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from my good direction. I'm going to turn and follow you and your focus. I'm going to follow you as you've commanded. And this isn't something where a little dab will do ya. Jesus is saying, this is your primary focus, your full focus everywhere and always. And you will be my witnesses, my martyrs, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here's what I ask you, my friends. Stuttgart Harvest Church, the church in Malvern, will you join us with that as your life focus? Will you pass by some good things in order to grab his great? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to no longer focus on ourselves. And God, we've been focusing on good things, even our career, and then we focus on families, and then we focus on sometimes activities and entertainment. God, I pray that you would help us to repent from that, to turn from that, to change directions from that, and help us to follow you, to set our focus on what you ask us to set our focus upon. Because God, if we don't focus on what you focused on, then we have to ask the question, are we really following you? Or are we just following ourselves and what we want? So I ask, Father, will you forgive us? And I ask, Father, may we submit to you, and may we follow you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.